Well, let's pray one more time before we get into God's Word. Please pray with me. Gracious God, what a wonder it is to come before You at any time. But now, Lord, as we've been worshiping You this morning, we come before Your Word, and we want to not just hear it, but we want to heed it. We want to see how Your truth applies to our hearts, in our lives, and our speech, and everything in what we do. And I pray, Lord, that through it, we wouldn't just hear it, God, but we would be changed by it. So thank You, Father, so much for loving us and giving us Your truth, and also being such a gracious and loving God. So please bless this time in Your Word now, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. So I want to begin with a proverb, and it's Proverbs 23, verse 25. And it says, "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you." Let her rejoice who gave birth to you. And at the end of the service, we would like our moms and all of our ladies to come forward to receive a little flower gift blessing from our church. And that's the verse that's on the flower gift that you're going to receive. And so children are surely a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, according to Psalm 127. How grateful we are for our sons and daughters, okay, our precious children. How wonderful they are to us. But they don't always cause their parents, their fathers and their mothers, to be glad and rejoice, do they? Not always. For instance, the lady who invited a bunch of friends for dinner one night, and after all the food was prepared and the table set, she turns to her five-year-old daughter and says, "Would you like to say the blessing?" And the daughter says, I wouldn't know what to say. And the mother says, "Just say what you hear mommy say." And so the daughter bows her head and she says, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" another mom, she shares of some wonderful travails of motherhood. She wrote of how everything changes after you have kids. And so before children, she writes, "I was thankful to have been born in the United States of America, the most powerful free democracy in the world. After children, I'm thankful for Velcro tennis shoes, as well as saving valuable time. Now I can hear the sound of my son taking off his shoes, which gives me 3 extra seconds to activate the safety locks on the back seat windows right before he hurls them out of the car and into the street. Before children," she writes, "I was thankful for holistic medicine and natural herbs. After children, I'm thankful for pediatric cough syrup guaranteed to cause drowsiness in young children. Before children, I was thankful for a warm, cozy home to share with my loved ones. After children, I'm thankful for the lock on the bathroom door." Well, today's message, it applies to every one of us here today, because all of us have mothers or have had mothers. My dear mom passed away. It's going to be 3 years in July. So wherever you stand or however old or young you are this morning, my prayer is that this message would apply to you. It does speak to all of us in some form or fashion, even those of us who are not mothers. Men cannot be mothers, by the way. But those women among us in our church family who are single and God's calling was different for you, or mothers who are here today, and all of us as sons and daughters of our moms, this message applies to each of us. So a question that I was pondering, how can children, okay, whatever age you are today, and in particular, this question is if your parents are alive, how can you let your father and your mother be glad and let her heart rejoice over you? What brings just great joy and gladness to a godly mother in regards to her precious children? What brings such great joy and gladness to godly moms. Well, it's like the Apostle John says, right, in his third letter. He said, I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in truth. Godly mothers who love Jesus and love their children have no greater joy than to know that their children are walking in the truth, that their children are true Christians and they're truly following Christ, that they are saved in Christ Jesus and they're pursuing sanctification in Him, that they believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and they're following Jesus with all their might. Okay, outside their own relationship with the Lord, this brings the godly Christian mother the greatest of joys. Part of children walking in the truth is one of the most foundational passages in the whole Bible. As I was praying about what message to bring today for this Mother's Day 2025, eventually I was led to this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. So let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 6 was part of our scripture reading this morning. And it's one of those passages that one might think so obvious to go to for Mother's Day or for Father's Day. And so you don't think of it. As someone has said, it's so overt that it's covert. Okay? I was led to this passage in Ephesians chapter 6 after the last six Mother's Day messages I've given. All of them sought to exalt the role of motherhood and the blessing of moms and to point to what God says about women and God's design for women and Jesus' high view of women and Scripture's high view of mothers in the Bible. And today I want to kind of turn it around a little bit and point to this passage in Ephesians 6, which has a command for children. And once again, I said this applies to every single one of us, no matter how young or old you are, in some form or fashion, okay? And so Ephesians chapter 6, once again, since it's so short, I'll ask you to remain seated, but I'll read it once again. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." It begins with that first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The Duke of Windsor made a visit to America from England back in the 1950s. And after his trip to America, he went back to England, and this is what he said. "The thing that impresses me most about America is how well the parents obey their children." So that was last century, the 1950s. How much more upside down has our culture and our world become since then? Instead of respecting authority, which starts in the home, and then it goes to the schools when we send our kids out there, and then in society, okay, respecting authorities like police, law enforcement, government officials, the concept of submitting yourself to an authority is becoming more and more of a foreign concept in our culture, especially for our young people. Okay, nowadays, it's more of an option whether to follow a teacher's rules or a police officer's commands or a parent's instructions. It's optional to listen to them, not mandatory anymore. It's like Rodney Dangerfield used to say, right? No respect. Some of you know who he is, but anyway, older century. Okay, so now the case is that the teacher needs to listen to the student's desires, the officer has to consider the criminal's situation, and the parent caters to the child's wants. The inmates are running the asylum. More and more kids are being raised by the screen on the phone or the iPad or the TV, as both parents are working and they have no energy left to raise the children. I've seen moms with an infant child in the stroller. There's an iPad hanging down from the handle to occupy the baby while mom's scrolling through her phone. This is training entitled behavior, okay? Even addictive behavior. Any desires being met right from the start of life. They want food, they have it. Desire an activity, they do it. They grow up, they desire a lust, act on it. Okay, saying no is considered cruel and just too restrictive. Okay, they want something, they should have it, and they should have it now. That's what they're being taught at a very young age. And we wonder why there's an entire generation of kids who, I forget which generation it is, but they used to be called Generation Z, right? I'm starting to consider them Generation E, okay, as in entitled. And so God has a simple word for children and for parents. And it's verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, this is instructive for both children and parents. It's a command, obviously. It's addressed directly to children. Okay, tekna is the word. Who are the tekna, the children? They're children of various ages. Kids who are old enough to understand this simple command. Okay, that's directly addressed to them. And it could range from very young children to teenagers to even young adults who are still living at home. It can be applied to any child who is single and dependent on his or her parents for financial support, and especially those who are in the home. Okay, so it says obey. It's a very complex Greek term, I'll have you know. Okay, it means do what your parents tell you to do, right? Very complicated. Simply do what they say to do and don't do what they say not to do. Paul does add that little prepositional phrase there, right? Obey your parents in the Lord. So this gives us a helpful addition that children should not do something that goes against Scripture. They shouldn't do something, even if their parents tell them to do it, if it goes against what God says to do. So there's a difference between me saying, hey, Joseph, go to Ralph's and buy us some Oscar Mayer bacon, because there's a really good discount I saw. Right? That versus, hey Joe, go to Ralph's and get us some Oscar Mayer bacon and use the five-finger discount. Okay? The second one, you don't want to do. You will disobey. You should. The first one, off to Ralph's. Go buy that bacon. In the Lord, this also infers that for children, okay, in your relationship to God in Christ, to obey and honor Him, you obey and honor your parents. Okay? Honor your mother. Colossians 3 verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. In other words, the child's obedience to parents should come out of a love for Jesus and a desire to please Him. To paraphrase, out of gratitude to God, who sent His Son to rescue me from my sins, I gladly submit to the authority He has put over me for my good and His glory. Okay? Children of God, okay? Again, younger or older, is that your heart motivation? Is that your desire when you struggle with something that your parents tell you to do? It's interesting. There's a similar command in Hebrews 13:17, which is given to church members in relation to pastors and elders of the church. Hey, listen to this. Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Okay, church members, that's the command. As a pastor, one of the harder things I've dealt with over the years, especially with younger folks, is when I need to tell them that they're not ready to be in a dating relationship. Okay? It's like, I mean, I've had kids leave the church because I gave them that counsel. How should a Christian young person respond to that kind of counsel? Well, Christians land here, what I said before. Out of gratitude to God, who sent His Son to rescue me from my sins, I will gladly submit to the authority that He has put over me for my good and for His glory. Okay? And whether this is coming from a mother or a father or a pastor, elder, okay, an authority in your life, okay, is that your heart towards even something difficult like that? There's many, many other things that we struggle with, right? To obey our parents. Back to Ephesians 6. It says, "For this is right." Paul gives the reason why children should obey their parents. It's simply right to do so. It's wrong not to. Again, in our culture, that's kind of, we're going away from that. But in most cultures and most ages, even ancient and contemporary worlds and cultures, and some more than others, that's been the case. It's been recognized. It's right by God's design. Okay, who has not witnessed the embarrassment of a toddler throwing a temper tantrum in public? I was in Ralph's just a while back, and this little 4-year-old kid was just on the floor, on his back, weeping and wailing over just some candy that he wanted, and his mom said no. Older children, by the way, their tantrums look a little different, okay? But it's wrong nonetheless, whatever it looks like. We all recognize there's something wrong with this kind of disobedience and rebellion. Obedience to parents is right in that this is the way that God has structured life. Parents have far more wisdom. They've lived longer. They have much more experience than children. And that's the reality. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. This quote was attributed to Mark Twain. He said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. In other words, your perspective changes from when you're an immature teenager to when you grow up and you're 21. You realize, wow, my father did actually know a whole lot more than I gave him credit for. And mothers, children, bless your mothers today. Hey, obey your parents in the Lord. And here's a quick word for the parents among us. Again, whatever stage of parenting you're in, and even for future parents, Lord willing, right? From James Montgomery Boyce. Listen, he says, "The obligation is not merely on the side of the child who must obey, but also on the side of the parent who must enforce the obedience. This is because the parent stands as God in relationship to the child. To teach the child to obey the parent is to teach the child to obey God. To allow the child to defy and disobey the parent is to teach the child to defy and disobey God, with all the obvious, harmful, and negative consequences." End quote. Okay, if we are training our children not to listen to us, and that is their pattern and habit, we are training them to defy and disobey God himself, because God is the one who's the authority here, who says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." To be clear, once again, children are not required to obey parents when the parents' commands cause them to disobey God, right? It's the Acts 4 and 5 principle. When the government told Peter and the others that they could not preach the gospel, what did they say? Peter says, "We must obey God and not man." Okay? And this is similar, too, with just different relationships and unbelieving boyfriend, girlfriend, spouses. I got saved before my sweetie did. And so we were not married yet, but we were together. And, you know, when I got saved, Sundays came around. I was going to church. And I loved her. I loved her dearly. And yet, there was no stopping me. Okay? I didn't even know that much what the Bible said about going to church. Really, I hardly knew anything. But I knew that this pretty young thing was not going to stop me from being in church on Sunday. Okay? And so, of course, then she started coming with me by God's grace. And eventually God saved her, too, by his amazing, stunning grace. And now she's glowing right there. So, back to children and parents. Okay, same principle, children and parents. Even if that's the case, let's say a non-Christian parent is telling a child to do something that goes against Scripture. Children should not disobey in a prideful or arrogant manner. Okay, you have an unbelieving, whatever, okay, in this case, mother or father. They tell you to do something that goes against Scripture. You shouldn't do it in a prideful way. Okay, There should be a humble, submitted spirit that honors them, even when you need to disobey their command. And that happens through appeals, right? Appealing and explaining and just being patient, rather than rudely rebuking their parent because they're going against the Bible. Okay? And I made that mistake when I first got saved. Almost 30 years old. And there were times where I would just, they would say something or do something that was against Scripture, and I would not answer in a humble way. And that was my fault, and I needed to ask their forgiveness for that. So, to quote another pastor, he says, "Even as adults, we should respect our parents' counsel and go against it only after careful consideration and prayer. The command to honor our parents is lifelong." So this text applies to all of us whose parents are still alive. If you have children still at home, it is your responsibility to help them understand and obey this important commandment. So I just want to make sure that we clarify that, all right? I had a 50-plus-year-old man, okay, married with children, grown man with older children. Several years ago, after I preached and taught on this, he told me that he always thought he was supposed to continue to obey his parents, even after he got married and even after he started having a family of his own. And he had such a struggle with that for years because he thought that's what the Bible was saying. And his father was not a Christian, and he was actually somewhat cantankerous and an unreasonable, unbelieving father. And so this 50-plus-year-old Christian man was relieved to find out that he was no longer under the duty and obligation to obey everything his father said, but it was his duty to continue to honor him. And so I want to make sure we're clear with that. And that leads us to our second verse, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. Okay, honor. This goes beyond the outward obedience. Okay, it goes to the inner attitude. God commands not just the what, but the how. He's after the hearts of sinful man and even redeemed man. We need so much change, okay, from the get-go, even as children. To honor is to show deep respect and high regard. Okay, it's to count as valuable, to esteem, to value, even revere. Okay, the Hebrew word is related to the word for glory. Okay, glory, it conveys a weightiness or a heaviness. Hey, honor your mother. Hey, treat her position as mom with the weight and the worth that motherhood deserves in God's design. Hey, to honor it's a social action describing how people within a society should evaluate one another. So honor usually results in people being elevated in the eyes of the community. And right now, motherhood is not elevated. Hey, it's denigrated. And God's word says otherwise. Respect for motherhood is really sorely missing from our culture. We think that we can have surrogate babies or have two dads with one acting like a mom. We diminish the faithful stay-at-home mom, mother. I told you one of my least favorite phrases. Okay, when someone's asked, like, oh, what does so-and-so do? What does that lady do? Oh, she's just a housewife. Okay, as if. Okay, it's being a homemaker, a housewife, is arguably the most influential, powerful, world-changing role that a woman could ever have. Lord willing. So I went upon the Twitter world for a little bit this past week, and there was a thing in Twitter X now where someone said that the stay-at-home mom, that role is not intellectually stimulating. And they wrote a whole thing on X there about just how your brain turns to mush and there's no thought going on and just anybody can be just stay-at-home mom, that kind of thing. And a Christian mom replied to that saying, "Ma'am, I have more conversations with my children about theology, politics, history, and culture before 9 a.m., than you could ever dream of having with your woke coworker in the break room." I thought that was interesting. And Christian mom, young mom, and blogger, Ali Beth Stuckey, she agrees, and she says, "Yep, when your 5-year-old asks, But why did God let the snake in the garden? You better be at the top of your theological game, moms. My kids, she says, make me a better thinker, teacher, and Christian every day. End quote. So, again, children, honor your mother. The Net Bible notes this. This calls for children to give their parents the respect and honor that is appropriate for them. It could be paraphrased to say, give them the weight of authority that they deserve. Next to God, parents were to be highly valued, cared for, and respected. End quote. Okay, so obedience is the duty. Honor is the disposition. Okay, obedience is the what, and honor is the how. Both are required by God's word. Pastor John MacArthur, in his book called The Fulfilled Family, he writes, honor is the attitude behind the act. The act is obedience, and honor is the attitude. Remember that an act without the proper attitude is hypocrisy. If you do what your parents tell you to do, but you hate it, and you're unwilling and nasty about it, then you're a hypocrite. If you do what your parents tell you to do, but you're bitter or fearful or reluctant and selfish, that's not the right spirit. God is after the attitude much more than he's after the act. Because if the attitude is right, then the act will follow. But a right act with a wrong attitude is nothing but hypocrisy. End quote. Listen, folks, this applies to us parents as well. But again, speaking to children, we sin in private. And we think and we act like nobody knows. And if nobody sees it, then it's okay. Okay. But God sees everything, right? It's like those poor lost people who were, you know, damaging and keying those Tesla cars without knowing there's 9 cameras on them watching everything and recording everything. Okay. God sees everything. 1 Samuel 16 tells us, right? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks where? He looks on the heart. He knows exactly what's going on inside and out. So in verse 2, it says, this is the first commandment with a promise. What's the promise? Verse 3, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Okay, some of you have that in capital letters in your Bible, yes? Yes? Okay, some of you? It doesn't mean like this is extra important, so, you know, and like God's shouting at us. It actually means that there's a reference or a quote from the Old Testament. That's why it's in capital letters in some of your Bibles. In this case, Paul is referring to Exodus 20, verse 12, and this is the fifth commandment, which Pastor Bill read for our scripture reading today. And so that commandment given to Israel, as the book of Exodus is given, the promise to them was that they would dwell in the promised land for a long time and that things would go well with them while they're there. And that's Deuteronomy 5:16, where the Ten Commandments are given again. Deuteronomy, the second law, right? Deuteronomy 5:16. And so here in our passage today, the New Testament, Ephesians 6, verse 3, Paul makes it a general promise, okay, to all Christians. Hey, whether Jewish converts or Gentile converts, and this is to children, it says, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So what does that promise mean for us as Christians today? To quote Pastor Stephen Cole, he says, first, there's a principle that disobedience to parents will result in the breakdown of the foundation of a society. Disobedience to parents is one mark of those whom God has given over to their depraved rebellion, Romans 1. It is a mark of the godlessness of the last days, 2 Timothy 3. When children disobey and dishonor their parents, they do not respect any authority, including the law of the land. So life does not go well with a disrespectful child because he may end up in prison or dead. That's the first thing. Second thing he says, there is a general principle that obedient children will live long on the earth, whereas disobedient children will not. It is not an ironclad rule. We all know of godly children who have died young and of sinful rebels who live to a ripe old age. But those who rebel against parents or get into drinking or drugs and sexual immorality are more likely to die young than those who avoid such destructive sins. At whatever age we die, whether young or old, we are truly blessed if we have obeyed God, because we have His promise of eternal life, and we're free from many of the trials of this life. Then he says, but young people, due to the flesh, often want to be free from parental authority. So they rebel and follow the fashions and sinful activities of the unbelieving youths of the world. End quote. And that just makes sense, doesn't it? It's practically logical, and it's spiritually truthful. Children who receive no instruction or correction from faithful parents would result in a society with no order, social anarchy, and sadly, this is the way our society is going. And you've probably seen social media and YouTube of just instances of crimes and things like that happening. So we as Christians, we have a better way. We have the better way. We have the way, the truth, and the life. We have the light of the world. And Jesus says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Psalm 119, it says that the word, thy word, God's word, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So children, honor your mother, okay? Especially those mothers who have faithfully influenced you to know Christ, okay, who taught you the gospel, who read the Bible to you, who prayed for you, who was a huge part in discipling you into Christ and continues to be your spiritual advocate and helper and encourager. There's a good thought here. Someone wrote, obedience and honor to those who give birth and life is regarded as a virtue among all nations and religions. How much more should this be true in the case of children whose mothers have led them into spiritual birth and life as well? Okay, honor your mothers. That's the message today. Okay, all mothers, and I'll include our spiritual mothers in our church who are single. Honor motherhood. Okay, honor the role, the blessed, exalted, glorious role that God has given. And you guys know that I love a good maxim. Hey, a proverbial nugget, a wise saying, like one who eats cookies in bed wakes up feeling crummy. Hey, a man who makes a mistake in an elevator is wrong on many levels. Hey, Proverbs 23:25. Hey, this is eternal wisdom, eternal truth. Hey, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Hey, honor your mothers, obey them. There's no greater joy for them, no greater gift that you could give to your mother today. Okay, flowers are wonderful, cards are especially appreciated, jewelry is nice, lunch out, dinner out is sweet. Okay, but there's no greater gift than for her to know that you are walking in the truth, that you've trusted Jesus, that He died for your sins, and your life is all in Him. You love Him above all else, and you're following Him with your everything today. Okay, that's the greatest gift that you could give to your mother and your father today. So I hope that's an encouraging word for all of us, and we would take it to heart, and let's pray. Father, thank you for this word that you've put and brought to our attention today, and your word is always so good, God, and We just ask that you'd bless it, and it would be spiritual food for everyone who has been here today. And we would truly desire, God, from the inside and out, to obey and honor our precious mothers that you've given to us. Let us not take them for granted. Let us not take you for granted. Let us not take the gospel for granted. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And in salvation, you promise to complete the good work that you started in us and to sanctify us that we would walk in the truth. So thank you, Father, for all of these things and most of all for your Son. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.